In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Hero Proposition 1 fails in Houston,
Denmark and their wind power,
Rumbler, it's like a dating app, but for fist fights.
And we interviewed Bill Zanowitz from the Comic Book Bears Podcast.
All these and more coming up next. Bear Podcast 590.
Bigger than the Earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 590, and it's a Monday, November 9th, 2015. And we just had a great weekend because
we did nothing Saturday, and Sunday we partied all night.
Oh, wait a second. We did go to Chinatown. No, that's what Chinatown is.
I guess what they used to refer to as Chinatown. It's not quite Chinese anymore. It's Vietnamese.
Vietnamese and
Chinese,
Korean.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had shaved ice. That's pretty much it.
Yes, we went to, what was it, Restaurant 101?
Cafe 101.
Cafe 101, which is kind of cool. Kind of one of the.
It's got those lights.
It had disco music.
Yeah.
Boots and pants and boots and pants and boots and pants and boots and pants. And then we walked around the corner to Juice Box, which we had
shaved ice and everything.
With bananas and strawberries and chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty much the highlight of the weekend because we just did
nothing on Saturday. Nothing. Well, it rained all day here Saturday, so.
Yeah, it's really gloomy here in Houston, so that's Houston life. But for this episode, we do have something very exciting because we have our guest.
Yay, we got guestesses.
Yes, guests. Yes, his name is Bill Zanowitz, and he's one of the co-hosts of Comic Book Bears, and here's our interview.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice butt. Yeah, sure. So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
Joining us today is Bill Zanowitz, and here to talk about his project. So welcome to the show.
Bill.
Hey,
Bill. Hi. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate this.
Oh, no problem.
That's awesome. So where are you now? Where are you based in?
I'm just outside of Princeton in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Stone's throw from the university, and I also posted, since we were close to Halloween, I'm really close to Grover's Mill, where the aliens landed in 1938.
Well, that's intriguing.
Yes. So that's where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's where I am now. I was actually raised up in North Jersey, but live in the central part of the state right now.
Yeah, we have a few friends in New Jersey, and it's people who live here near us. Actually, Dave, I don't know if you know Dave, from Under Bears Podcast. He lives around a mile from here, so he's pretty good. So you'd like to know about your comic book life. So you've always loved comic books. So Ray and I are big comic book fans too.
Yes.
And we grew up with X-Men, and what else did you grow up with? X-Men and
the same comics everybody's reading today. They just update them every couple of years and revamp the storylines. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, now people are gay. Instead of being mutants, they're gay and mutants.
And that's what's happening lately. So how about you? What's your history? And tell us about your comic book life.
Well, it goes way back, as you can tell by the amount of Not Just For Men hair right now. I've been reading a while. What really was the premiere of Super Friends in 1973 that did it for me. I literally was like one little kid at the beginning of that hour and another little kid at the end of that hour. And from the fall of 1973 was reading consistently. Yeah, so I was reading comics, you know, all through as an adolescent. Hit high school and, you know, you get into more things. As you can tell back here, I'm a huge music fan. So, you know, money that I would have spent on getting, you know, Superman and X-Men comics instead went to import singles and concert tickets and everything. And then just before I went to college, I got back into it again. Then you graduate and then, you know, you're kind of addicted to food and shelter and, you know, disposable income has to, you know, is non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
So for a couple of years, I, you know, just, you know, would follow here and there, but not really get into it. Then about 1997, I started getting into it a bit more. And then around 2005 was when, you know, the internet was, you know, kind of fully ensconced with the way forums were set up and podcasts were starting. And it's really been in the last 10 years that I've, you know, been a more active participant in the area of fandom than I ever was before. So,
I see.
So that's what happened. And then with the Comic Book Bears podcast, we actually had started a Comic Book Bears group on LiveJournal.
If you God, LiveJournal.
Yeah.
That is, you know, so that, 2000.
Yeah. Well, if you go to any comic book convention, you know, half the guys look like us. So, you know, law of averages, there's got to be a bunch of people that are, you know, wired the same way. So we had this little group. It died when LiveJournal effectively died, when Facebook kind of took up that.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Culture.
I remember LiveJournal before. I was so active with LiveJournal before too. And lots of groups. Too bad I didn't get to see the group for your comic book bears or something.
Yeah, I think it's still up there, but I don't think it's been updated since. Then in 2011, myself and my first co-host, Justin Allen, we started the Comic Book Bears podcast and started as a monthly show and then, you know, gradually went to biweekly. And over time, we've eventually added four more co-hosts. Mm-hmm. And my other co-hosts are Brian Pittard and Steve Mowry and Matt Brossard. Matt might be known a little bit better in bear circles as Fuzzbelly. Okay. And as he's a really, really great artist, and he's doing the Bear City 2.5 graphic novel.
Really?
How are you? So he's our secret weapon on the shows, especially when we have artists coming on to be interviewed, and he knows the vocabulary with artists. He knows how to, you know, he knows how to massage questions that none of the other four of us would even think to do because we're not artists. And it's been going fun. We've, over the past 2 years, in association with New York Comic Con, we've done live shows. Mm-hmm. Through their New York Super Week events, which are produced by Reed Entertainment, who produces New York Comic Con. And it's been going really well. And we have just transitioned to a weekly show. Some of the episodes we've been putting together have been over 3 hours.
And we decided let's
reel it back. You know what? We can cut it in half, and you know, instead of doing it twice a month, get something out every week. So we are hoping that this Wednesday will be the first of our consistent weekly episodes. Then
that's right.
Oh, cool.
So, yep.
So going to New York Comic Con. Have you been to San Diego Comic Con?
I went to San Diego Comic Con in 1998.
That far?
A couple of hours, yeah.
Wow. For a couple,
that was
Wait, a few hours? Okay.
A few hours, yeah, that was it.
So you were just at the entrance.
it was a trip, and this was sort of unplanned. You know, I was out there for some, you know, for vacation, and it just coincided with and that was a little bit, you know, even though the Hollywood infiltration had started then, certainly, I mean, it kind of goes back to 1980 with Raiders of the Lost Ark really being premiered Comic-Con there, but I haven't been back since it's, you know, really blown up, and you know, with the 17-hour waits for Hall H shows and stuff. Someday, but I would like to go there in the context where there's some official capacity, not as not as a civilian, essentially.
You should try what Ray did back in 2012. Something. He went there. He got a press pass for Bear Podcast.
Yeah, and you get press passes for podcasts.
Yeah,
well,
I have gone to. I think for the last 4 years, I haven't gone to a show without some kind of press credentials. Yeah. The main ones that I go to are Baltimore Comic Con, C2E2, which is out in Chicago, MegaCon, which is in Orlando, and Brian being in Orlando has a much bigger presence there, and naturally New York Comic Con because of the proximity.
Yeah, it's really easy for you. Yeah. Over here, there was one, Space City Comic-Con that happened here in Houston. And
now there's two that's happened
there's
here.
There's two, yeah, but they're not that packed here.
Well, yeah, no.
Yeah. I think every city's going to have their prestige con eventually.
Yeah.
There's just too much money.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Even now, just to get a selfie. No, they charge for selfies with these artists. If it's, you know, like you said, the infiltrated by Hollywood people.
Yeah.
And they would come over there. Well, like they would charge if it's. I met Gil Gerard. from Buck Rogers, and I met him, and he was charging. Well, not really charging. He's saying, "Hey, a donation for $10 would get a selfie with me." Okay, all right, okay. So, yeah, I think they all do that now. Which,
yeah,
I don't know, because they do say it's a donation, it's for a charity, but I don't know if it really goes to the charity. Yeah.
It depends on the individual, you know. And there's, you know, I can understand doing something like in a group, you know, like, you know, if there were like more than two captains of the Star Trek.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, and getting, you know, like two or three people in with them. You know, I can understand paying to some degree, but it's, I don't know. I'm not wired that way to spend something.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know,
even once in a lifetime. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about your project now. Are you right now, you're an avid writer yourself.
Well, I don't know if avid, but I'd like to get there.
You're going to get there. That's why you're having this project.
And then have writer block.
Write
some more.
I kind of have the opposite of that right now. I kind of have too many ideas flowing. Yeah, so.
Hey, this month is NaNoWriMo month. Are you going to – it's NaNoWriMo this month. It's, well, the national November Writers Month. Have you heard of that? Something like that.
Yeah.
Or you have to spend time the whole month. You have to write. You have to reach about 50,000 words, and people do it just to get their creative juices out, and that happens every year.
Yeah. It's funny that when I was younger, I wrote plays, and you know, some of them were produced off Broadway. I can't say off Broadway; we're almost there, one block away. But off Broadway, were performed at the various colleges from New Jersey all the way to Oregon. And I never thought I would be writing comics. It just never entered into my mind, just because I wasn't. I thought if that was a genuine interest of mine, it would have hit me much younger, but I just never attempted it. And then in 2013, probably late 2012 when this was set up, one of the forums that I was very active on was for another podcast called 11 O'Clock Comics. And there were so many people were involved in that community, in that forum community, that they decided to put anthologies together, spotlighting the work of people who were part of the forum. Great idea. So I was convinced to put something together, and I didn't know any artist personally. And there is an online bear-oriented comic called Grizzly and the Bear Patrol, which is written and drawn by Mark Parman. I reached out to Mark, who I kind of knew a little bit from online interactions, but not. And asked him if he'd like to be part of this. So there was a 6-page story, which I saw then with Mark's blessing, saw as essentially a prologue to a much bigger story. That appeared in 2013. Life kind of got in the way. There's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. But since that time, I also contributed to an anthology with Kingbone Press, who also put out the book that I was talking about with the forum was a book called Low Concept, a trade paperback called Low Concept. They also had a series called Banthology, which was rock-oriented stories in comic form, which, you know, I kind of know. Uh-huh. And contributed a story to that with an artist, Elliot Junkyard. And then this past we finished it up in December. It came out in June. There's a LGBT group that's very active in New York called Geeks Out, and they put together an anthology of LGBT creators, which is called Power. And the stories are all based around power and strength and empowerment in relation to being gay or trans in the current day. Mm-hmm. And that was with my co-host Matt Brossard. So we have a story in that called Teammates. So those were the other stories that I presented, and they were all, you know, again, very short, 4 to 6 page stories. But the Crime Fighter Inquiry was the thing that we had brewing, that Mark and I had brewing for some time, and we were able to clear the decks enough that, you know, we were ready to crowdfund and try to get this going. So we are recording right now, and it's November 9th. Yeah. Our crowdfunding effort actually ended last night, so I can't pitch to people to get money.
Should have had you earlier then. Earlier in the week or something.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just the way things go. But, you know, it ain't dead. We're coming out in February.
Yeah.
So we had the crowdfunding ended last night, and I'm very happy to announce that we were 114% above our goal.
That's sweet. Awesome. Congratulations on that.
We got much more money in the till than we thought we would. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to get to the point that's going to be able to fund two issues instead of one. Or it gives us a little more breathing space about what we potentially could do. But we're hoping that if all goes according to plan, and it shouldn't be any work, because the work's effectively completed. We just have two panels that have to be finalized, that we can go to print and get it out to people in February.
You're talking about the Crime Fighter Inquiry.
Right, the Crime Fighter Inquiry.
Inquiry, yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. What's the storyline on this?
Okay, well, the Crime Fighter Inquiry is the story of a guy, Lou Gianetti. Lou is a divorced father of two, middle-aged, and he is he's somebody who's in flux. I don't want to say midlife crisis, but maybe midlife agita. You know, there's a couple of things going on. Uh-huh. That life's not exactly spinning out of control, but he doesn't exactly have a firm hold in the driver's seat. So,
okay.
on the steering wheel. So he's going through, I think, what a lot of middle-aged men do, you know, that, you know, they question their career, they question their other life choices. And as he's in this state, his grandfather dies. And in dealing with his grandfather's estate, he finds that his grandfather was a very different person than he had assumed. Through this process of discovery, he finds that there actually were superheroes on the streets of a few American cities in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Why this is basically forgotten history is that none of this happened in major cities. It didn't happen in New York or Los Angeles. It happened in Walla Walla, Washington, and Wilmington, Delaware. And when you have a situation like that, that's history that's very easy to suppress. And he finds out what happened to these individuals, the role that his family played in these events, and most importantly, that there were ramifications that last to the present day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Okay. So while you're doing this, you're writing this and everything, can you tell us of any character there that, you know, that reflects anyone that you know? Or somebody who a character is based upon somebody you know in life?
Okay, well, there's a couple of people. Actually, since we're hitting you guys over there in Houston, my friend Scott Bodenheimer is effectively, at least physically, the model for an assassin who is a bit – I don't want to say he's the antagonist, but he's certainly not a protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
He's involved in the mix. He plays a critical part in the story. Not a hero, but not necessarily somebody you would – classify as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
So at least the physical manifestation, as far as I know, Scott's never killed anybody.
Oh.
So we have that. With Lou, there's a bit of me. There's a bit of some other people I know. One of my best friends has two daughters, and God, the Jersey accent comes out in certain words. Sorry about that, guys. Daughter. Some of the things he's discussed with me have, you know, come into the formation. But it's also been really interesting about that whole issue of characters writing themselves. I always thought that was kind of bullshit. You know, I always thought that was like, you know, you play God and all that. But, you know, with this particular project, the lead character, Lou Gianetti, I thought, well, you know, he's a bearish guy, former football player in high school and the beginning part of college. You know, he physically, you know, matches a lot of things that we dig. And with him being middle-aged and in a state where his life has changed, I really thought that an exploration of his sexuality was central to it, that this was effectively a coming out story in more ways than one. And as I started writing this character, it was as if he was talking to me saying, dude, I'm not gay. You know, I'm just not gay, you know.
Oh, okay.
And that was really liberating. And if we get to tell stories with this guy beyond these six issues that we have planned, Luigi and Eddie in Love, it's a great story that I have in my head, and it's much more honest story. So it really is interesting that, you know, I always thought that was just writer's bullshit about that the characters write themselves. In this case, yeah, this guy really kind of talked to me and said, you know, I'm straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave the story a much different perspective. It was like kind of being shackled to something that from the beginning kind of felt unnatural anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of aspects about certain people. One of the sons, one of Lou's sons, is my friend at 9 years old. He's an old friend of mine. It's him at 9 years old. If I sent him pages, I'm scared to do it, but if I sent him pages, like, did you tape me when I was younger?
Yeah, that's actually comes out when you write something, or especially now with a comic book format, that people would really relate to. And yeah, I'm sure if one of your friends can relate to it, and I'm sure many hundreds would probably relate to it. So in the description of a Crime Fighter Inquiry, it says there that something about adult sexual situations. So there's going to be some sexual – can you describe some?
There's the assassin that I talked about is a gay male, and he acts like a gay male.
Oh, okay.
who has money and – freedom.
So
there's some bit of that, and plus the language. I didn't want to be stuck with, oh gosh darn, you know, that's you know, strong language for strong times that we live in.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nothing that I think is necessarily off-putting or wouldn't be PG-13, but it's honest. You know, we in our everyday lives we use cuss words.
Yep.
And I was hoping to find a rhythm to that, but not at the same token for it to be excessive. So when I did put the mature reader's suggestion isn't the right word, but the tag there, it was just basically to cover the bases in case there was. I don't think there's anything in the book that a 13-year-old couldn't be exposed to.
Probably already knows better than your parents.
Yeah, probably knows better than us already. But you know, at least I wanted to have that provided that, you know, that these are adult situations that some of the people are involved with.
So, what medium do you guys plan to distribute to? Are you going to be in Comixology? Is it going to be in print? What are you guys planning?
Yeah, well, it's you know, we can't move on to the comics. Comixology has started this really great program for indie creators called Submit. Where it's I don't know if I can talk about the finances of it. I'm not exactly sure what properly has been disclosed, but it's a very fair exchange where they put your product on the Comixology platform and, you know, promote it within, and it's been really good. But we, you know, also Mark and I are kids of, you know, comic book kids that grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I don't want to lose paper. You know, there's something sexy about, you know, just like vinyl records, there's something sexy.
Yeah.
Something and turning pages. And, you know, that was one of the principal rationales behind doing a crowdfunding effort, was to get it into print. So I've already talked to a couple of publishers. There is that weighing about publishing yourself versus going through somebody else, more money in the till versus more exposure. So these are decisions that Mark and I have to very seriously address over the next couple of months. But come February, you'll know everything.
Okay. So, tell the audience right now, how can people check out your work? Lixon website's coming up where and when.
Well, I know you have show notes. There's a very long I don't think it's called a feedback, but it's a Geeks Out has a shop where you can pick up Power. And that's one anthology I really hope people check out, because we're in very, very good company in that book, Matt and I. There's some excellent stories in that one. So you can go to Geeks Out site and go to their shop area, geeksout.org. You can also go to kingbonepress.com to access the electronic versions of Low Concept 3 and Banthology 3, which my works appear in. And also there's still in print versions of Banthology 3. The Low Concept book has long been sold out, which is it's a nice badge of honor, you know, that you're part of something like that. Yeah. And then with Comic Book Bears, you can find us on the Earth Chew Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes and subscribe there. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can find us on Podbean. And we have .coms for comicbookbears.com and the crimefighterinquiry.com. There's like, I also found there's like 17,000 ways I say inquiry.
I said inquiry earlier.
Yeah. And they're both right. And those will be active or reactivated by November 20th. We also have, for both the Crime Fighter Inquiry and Comic Book Bears podcast, we also have a pretty robust presence on Facebook. And it's there.
All right.
And I'm on there too. And I'm, you know, I'm not standoffish at all. So. And I got something else I can tell you about. I do have a small role in Bear City 3.
Oh, really? Oh. Wait. Bear City 3. Oh, my God. So
do you get to play Santa Claus this episode?
I get to play Bill.
How many lines? Do you have like a 5 minutes or 15 minutes?
I had
or?
Two lines going in, and when I got there, they gave me a third line. They were so happy.
That is awesome. I'd like to be a fly in the wall when you guys record that. Okay, something important. Did you ever meet Tim Hooper?
Yes, on the set there. Mm-hmm. I've actually become pretty good friends with Sam, his partner, Sam Kite.
Yeah.
And so I met him on the site there. We didn't have a scene together. I had scenes with Brian Keene. And my scene was mainly with Brian Keene. So,
I just have a strong crush on Tim Hooper, that's why. I understand. Okay, so what else have you planning this year? Do you have any cons to go to or what?
We're basically at the end of con season. I have one a week, not this weekend, but the next weekend, which is a Gardens New Jersey Comic Expo. New Jersey Comic Expo. There's a couple in New Jersey that are kind of vying for the top spot. Nothing's really gelled yet. Okay. But that's probably my last con of the year. With work, I'm a graduate of if you went through the CV, I'm a graduate of Rutgers Law School, and though I'm not
in Rutgers too,
our friend
Dave went there too. Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so though I'm not in practice as an attorney, I maintain my license, and I work right now in anti-money laundering and anti-terrorist financing consulting. So there's always a possibility that there might be travel. Right now, for the last few months, I've been stable, so it's been good and bad. I kind of like traveling for work, but not constantly. I don't really know what the next step is professionally.
Okay.
Because
what happens
probably next year with C2E2 in Chicago, probably that kind of is the startup for me for the con seasons.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, now this time, if we do have product, you know, I might be able to, I had a signing at New York Comic Con for Geeks Out, which was, you know, just at the Geeks Out table briefly, but you know, especially because my artist Mark Parman and I have never met in person yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether it's Cincinnati Comic Con, which is where he's close to, where he's based in Kentucky, you know, hopefully there's some that I can go to, not just as press and as you know, as a creator. So
yeah, you have your own table there.
Are you involved with Prism Comics?
Not too involved with Prism Comics, though I know plenty of the people. I'd say out of the LGBT imprints or groups that I'm closest to, it's probably Northwest Press.
Okay.
Yeah. hung out a lot with them in Baltimore. And if I can just plug some for them, they have a great series called Dash, which is basically like a crime. Think of James Ellroy at a tea party, at a tea dance. Mm-hmm. It's you know, in Los Angeles in the 1940s, but there's a queer sensibility that runs through it, and there's also the injection of some supernatural elements. And the writer Dave Ebersole is an awesome guy, and it's a really impressive book. So,
okay,
plug in other people. Got to plug your friends, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so wow. How about next year? You're thinking about sometime in February, right?
Sometime in February. And then also, as I mentioned before, my co-host Matt Brossard is an artist, and he's involved in the Bear City 2.5 graphic novel. After he's finished with his work on that, we have something that we're brewing that we might be crowdfunding for that one too, we're still in the discussion stages on that, but there might be something else on top of Crime Fighter Inquiry to talk about.
Well, that's cool.
Well, Ray here is kind of an aspiring writer too.
We'll see. I've only been working on it for a year.
Really? That long? Wait, how long did it take for you to you have a whole storyline already for that 6 comic book thing that you have?
It's like a year of thinking about it and 2 weeks of doing it.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I don't know, Ray. I don't know if that's what you're encountering too. The gestation in here is like way too long, and once it actually comes out of you, it's actually a fairly quick process. At least that's what it's been for me.
Well, I hit the road running, and I got like 12 chapters done, and then I went back and was like, something ain't right here. I got to go fix it. So I started letting people read it and give me some input on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going back and reworking stuff now.
Wow.
Working on, and like a friend of mine said, okay, is this going to be an erotic novel or a young adult? Because I don't think you can do both here. So I was like, okay, I'll tone it down a little bit. He said, you can do erotic, but it's going to push some serious buttons.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll do young adult. And then we changed a bunch of stuff around, so I'm going back to rewrite number 3 or 4 now in most of the chapters. So,
okay. Well, I wish I could write something long like that. I mean, Ray spends time just to write, and you have your.
I just need to find a good editor, and I'll be okay.
Oh, you have a better editor.
I just need a good editor. That's all.
Yeah,
I need.
You always need a sounding board. You always need one.
Yeah, you can't just do it alone. You have to talk about it, through it at some point.
You need somebody to rein yourself in. I mean, because this has been a new experience for me. I've written dialogue and plays before, but not for comic books. And at least on 2 occasions when I gave stuff to Matt, it would have all been word balloons with just people yapping. Blah, 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 blah. And reeling it back and learning the economy of language is it's something else. There's a lot of learning going through this whole endeavor, and I hope I can get a pretty good handle on it, because I do think we honestly have a story that is going to connect with a lot of people, because it's about family, it's about conspiracy, there's a lot in the mix, and I'm just hoping that that I can bring to the table, match what Mark is doing, because he's very good at what he does. He's very good at the male form, so I've given him certain things that I know he's going to love to run with. But it is a learning process, and but I think having the input from people. But I also think there's times where you have to say, all right, too much input.
Yeah.
Too much flown at me. This is my thing. It's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there is a point where you do have to draw a line in the sand, even if it's something somebody doesn't agree with that you wholeheartedly feel should be included. Yeah. That you run with your heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I guess our time is running out for us. So thank you very much for joining the show. It's really great to have you on.
And, well, thank you.
It's always good to have a fellow podcaster on the show.
Yeah. No, it's very rarefied air. I mean, there's a little more of us now.
Yeah.
But you know, with movie bears, and you know, unfortunately, we've lost some shows too.
Oh yeah.
You know, over time. So you know, this.
That's true. I remember back
to paraphrase the Smiths, "Bear podcasters of the world unite and take over."
So. That's true. All right, Bill, thank you so much for being in the show. We'll put the links on the website for you guys to check out, so we can show everyone about the Crime Fighter Inquiry. That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Norm.
Right, really. Thank you, man.
Take care.
Thank you, Bill, for joining us in the show. Awesome to have you. And
you know what I first should ask him?
What should
I? Because he said what got him started on comic books was Super Friends.
Super Friends.
I should have asked him if he remembered the original Super Friends with Wonder Dog.
Oh, the one with Wonder Dog and the kid who's got a cape all the time.
Before the Wonder Twins showed up, before the revamp, the Wonder Twins.
Wait a second, which one's first? I thought that was after the Wonder Twins.
No, they came before the Wonder
Twins. The Wonder Twins is after?
Yeah, that was the revamp after. I think the first season they did Super Friends, Wonder Dog, and I can't remember the guy and the girl's name. And then they said, oh, why don't we change them and give them superpowers? And it was the Wonder Twins.
Yeah, and they had Gleek, the monkey.
The monkey, yeah.
Wow.
So with a super long stretching tail that could wrap around anything.
That's right. Very prehensile tail. So thank you again, Bill, for joining us on the show. Awesome.
Yeah. And now on to the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
That's right. Okay. First, the gay here. Sorry, guys. We're from Houston, and we're kind of screwed here in Houston because of this ordinance.
Yes.
It's being repealed and everything.
Because they don't want men in women's bathrooms.
That's right. And they don't like Black guys, Asian guys, they don't want them in their facilities.
They don't like women. They don't like anything.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so this happened last week. It's really sad. I voted, but in my area, since I'm in the suburbs of Houston, I could not vote for Prop 1. Ray was able to vote for Prop 1 because he's still registered there in Houston, and it's really sad. Okay, so 24 hours after legalizing discrimination, Houston is already feeling the backlash. So, less than 24 hours after the citizens of Houston voted to legalize discrimination by doing away with the city's non-discrimination ordinance, H-Town is already facing backlash. So what's going to happen now? First, the Outsports reports that the college football championship of 2018, 2019, and 2020, all of which Houston had been bidding for, were just awarded to Atlanta, San Francisco, and New Orleans, three cities that offered non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people. Whether or not the decision to exclude Houston was a result of yesterday's vote, or last Tuesday's vote, is not entirely clear, as the college football championships didn't directly comment on the matter, but many have noted that the timing of the announcement as being interesting. Okay, so it's really sad that this is what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
It's going to...
what's sad has happened is that you don't have protection.
Yes,
in the fourth largest city in the United States against discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk into my business and I can refuse to serve you because you're Asian.
That's right. Exactly. That's exactly, in plain words, that's what the ordinance is saying.
Yeah. I could, because I work with women, if I was the owner of a company, because I had pregnant women there, I could fire them.
Yes.
Because they're pregnant and they waste too much of my time and they don't work enough, so they got to go home.
Yeah.
Let's just stay at home.
I mean, that's what the ordinance, not having the ordinance, can do.
Yeah.
And they keep calling this the bathroom bill, which is not.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the minor clauses in this whole thing that did all this protection was that transgendered could use their sex-appropriate bathroom. And the religious right picked up on that. The right wing picked up on it, that they were allowing men into women's bathrooms. And Houston already has a clause that if anything goes hanky-panky in a bathroom, it's prosecutable.
Yeah, if you toss a disturbance.
Yeah. So, and I look at it this way. The next time I go to a sporting event and women come in the men's bathroom, I'll be like, no, bitches, y'all not allowed in here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So,
anyway, so that's what's going to happen. And the backlash, like this article is saying, is the backlash towards against Houston is happening. Like, it's possible. Right now, there are just rumblings. They're just talking about
it. Well, this has already been shut down since last week.
So it's really still
NFL
on.
NFL said it is on, so there has nothing to do with that. So
yeah, 2017 Super Bowl is going to be happening here in Houston. So, according to NFL, they're going to have it still there. But the college ones, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just very good timing.
So it timed out well, yes. But they are going to the city council is going to go back and try to fine tune the ordinance to appease everybody. The whole reason it got put to vote in the first place because the Texas Supreme Court said y'all can't pass this.
Oh, that's what they said?
The Supreme Court of Texas said that, which is interesting that they said you have to put something like this to vote to the people. So
okay.
So the majority of Houston voted for discrimination, which I think is
awesome.
Yeah,
that's what's happening. It's really sad. Okay, let's go to the Geek Ray.
Okay. Now, this article is a couple months old, but I brought it up because I think it's very interesting because we live in the energy city with the energy corridor with oil and all that stuff that I just thought this was pretty cool. Denmark just produced 140% of its energy needs with the renewable wind power. About a week ago, Denmark made the absolute most out of particularly windy 24 hours by harnessing its power and producing not only all of its own electricity needs for the day, but enough extra to spread between three neighboring countries. To be exact, the sustainable wind power technologists harnessed and collected 144% of one day's electricity needs. Denmark had previously developed its wind power plans, but on that particular winter day, it reached 116% of its domestic electricity demands through wind farms and then exceeded even that impressive surplus, reaching 140%, causing Denmark to export the excess power to Norway, Germany, and Sweden.
Oh.
80% of the energy surplus was given in equal parts to Norway and Germany, and Sweden received the remaining 20%. Germany and Norway possess hydropower systems with storage capabilities and were thus able to store the extra away for later use. 80% of the wind power surplus shared equally between Germany and Norway, which can store its hydropower systems for later use. Luckily, Sweden received the remaining fifth of excess of power. Overjoy, a spokeswoman for trade body of the European Wind Energy Association, it shows that a world powered by 100% renewable energy is no fantasy. Wind energy and renewables can be a solution to decarbonization, and also a security of supply at times of high demand.
So in Houston, or in Texas right now, do we have any...
There are wind farms.
There are wind farms.
But the legislature of Texas, if I remember this year, just voted to defund those projects.
What? Why?
Because they want oil.
They want oil.
The oil industry, they got to have that oil money in the state, or there isn't, or the state starts losing money.
It's all about the
oil. And it's just like Houston. That's why we have no public transit in Houston worth calling, because the oil companies fight it all the time.
Yeah, it's really sad.
So like they want everybody in a car sitting in on the freeways for an hour and 2 hours to get back and forth home because traffic's so bad.
There's got to be a better way to travel around Houston in different cities. And
well, there is, but the powers that be that control the money in this city
do not want
public transit. Because it takes people out of car seats and burning gas. And when they're burning gas, they're buying gas and the oil's flowing.
Yep. It's really sad we're still doing this. Well, eventually there are going to be like those self-driving cars and electric cars coming up and hybrids and stuff like that. So,
but all that stuff's still being delayed. How many electric cars do you see in Houston?
I don't know. I've seen a Chevy Volt here and there.
They're not being pushed here.
No, not at all. They are in different cities, especially California, of course.
And other cities and states, they are being pushed, but you're not going to see that in Houston. I mean, Houston, Texas alone, on solar power, you know, it's like I was talking like when we went to New Orleans. Majority of the houses in New Orleans have solar panels on them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You don't see that in Houston.
No, not at all. It's really sad.
So
that's Houston for you, or Texas for you.
Yeah. So
anyway, okay, let's go to the bizarre raid. The bizarre is it could have been a geek, but no, it's I don't know.
It is odd. It is bizarre.
It's bizarre. Okay. So Rumbler. Okay. Notice the word Rumbler without an E in the end. Rumbler.
Like Tumblr.
It's like Tumblr with a T. So Rumbler is like a dating app, but for fist fights. Bro, your face is pissing me off. Want to throw down? So that's an example of the sort of dialogue that goes on in a new app called Rumbler, which can be used to set up fist fights with total strangers, you know, Fight Club style.
Shh.
You don't talk about Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. Rumbler is set up to like a dating app, except the dates happen in parking lots and back alleys. Not restaurants, and they culminate in throwdowns instead of get downs. Here's the pitch on the website. Rumbler is an app for recreational fighters to find, meet, and fight other Brawl enthusiasts nearby. So lurkers can play too. You don't need to fight to use Rumbler. With Rumbler Explore, anyone can browse and attend fights close by that other Rumbler users have. Users have arranged all for free. Oh my God, you can actually be a voyeur of people fighting.
Right.
Oh my God.
So they can set one up, you can pull your car up, cut the lights on, and let it get on.
Yeah, so
let's get it on.
So the app comes complete with a chat tool and mapping function to show where fights and fighters are located. Oh my God, it's going to be pins on, you know, just like Google Map.
Yeah.
There's a fight there, I'm going to go there. So you can even filter to show only girl fights or gang fights. Oh my God, it's going to be girl fights and gang fights. So actually, the app hasn't launched on the app stores yet. It could be awaiting for approval. And I don't know.
I don't think
it's going to be allowed. So the website lets people sign up on a waiting list. So there's a website.
We should sign Dave up.
That's right. We can do that. No sign of any monetization offers on the site. Efforts on the site. So just an effort to build a large community of punchers. But you know, Rumbler might be a good site for advertisements from emergency rooms. That's right. And anger management therapists or first aid supplies. I hope Rumbler catches on, especially in San Francisco. It sounds like just the thing for all the tech pros around there. Yeah, because they're all under pressure and they might want to, to release some steam and everything. Yeah, oh my God, I would love, okay, if this goes out, I would really love to.
You want to go fight?
No, I'm going to watch. I'm just going to watch.
Punch you in your face, Maynard.
No.
I'll do it for free.
I'm going to bitch slap you. Bitch slap, this should be, that's right.
There's your app.
That's my app. I'm going to do a bitch slapper without an E in the end. It's a bitch slapper. And then they would, fight like, with the flapping hands and everything. Anyway, so Rumbler, I'm looking forward to it. You know what? They should just do, for testing purposes, just make a web app. Because they're concentrating on having an Android or an iOS, and might as well just put it in a browser-based. You can do it on Chrome if you have Chrome and on your PC or even on your phone using Safari or Chrome on your, just use the browser and you can still do those map things and you can still schedule those and then see people who are going to have a fight.
I don't know. I think they'd probably want to do the app so they could schedule the fights quickly and get the information out. People can show up before the police do.
You know what? That's also what's going to happen. If the police get a hold of it, they will be there and then,
There are boxing rings everywhere.
Yeah. There could also be, I would look for the oil wrestling. I'm sure that's part of Rumbler. That's got to be.
Yeah, oil wrestling. There you go.
Oil wrestling or, lube wrestling.
Yeah.
That could be part of Rumbler. Why not? Aside from the, gangs and girl fights. That'd be awesome. Anyway, so that's it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And thank you again to Bill for joining us. Talking about
and the comic book bears.
The comic book bears. Hey, shout out to the comic book bears. And so that's it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can contact us on Rumbler.
You
can contact us at our voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Leave us a voice message and we will play it on the show.
Yes. And that'll be awesome. And play the show.
And then we'll fight you on Rumble.
We're going to fight. We're going to Rumble you. Okay. So.
Jets and the Sharks, man.
Are you sure there's no dancing involved in that one? No?
There's always dancing.
There's always dancing involved. That's how you learn how to fight, right?
Crips and the Bloods.
And subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and Bear Radio Network. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Go facebook.com/bearpodcast and twitter.com/bearpodcast. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Men, wolves, and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear. Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.
We'll be right back.
right, we're on. Okay, we're still good.
Recording here. Recording here.
Yeah. Oh, God. Recording stuff.
I love how this headset is like keeping the cowlick down and everything. Oh, this is awesome. Okay.
So that's why you're wearing a beret? What happened to the beret?
You know? I was going to put that because I thought we were just doing audio, so I didn't care. I was
okay. All right.
Really don't care.
Parental advisory.
Parental advisory.
Yeah.
PG,
it's not PG. It's, what's it? Mature audiences.
Mature audience only.